we've been discussing this morning as our top story one of the most controversial elements of universal credit. Let me just set this out to you. It's around this so-called rape clause. And that's the name critics have given to the Conservative government's plans to restrict child tax credits and universal credit to a parent's first two children. Now, benefits for any subsequent children after those first two children can be paid if their mothers declare that they were conceived by rape. And that's where the controversial talking point begins. Because the Shadow Northern Ireland Secretary, Owen Smith, has been on the Nolan Show this morning saying that this means women in Northern Ireland could be sent to prison if they fail to report a rape. And in the House of Commons, he quoted from a letter that he received from Barra McGrory. Barra is the Director of Public Prosecutions. And we have the letter in front of us in which Mr. McGrory says it is a potential offence to withhold information regarding an act of rape. And I guess Barra McGrory, I said earlier that you often hear me ranting about people not coming on the radio when we feel it's in the public interest that they do so. And to be fair to him, he's making himself available. Barra, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
This is obviously of significant public interest, because as I read this letter, yes, I read you saying that there's never been a prosecution, but you're clearly saying it might happen.
Well, I'm a little bit concerned about the use of the letter, I'm afraid, Stephen, because the reply that I wrote was in answer to a specific question as to whether or not I could give any guarantees in the context of a disclosure about a rape subsequently in relation to a benefits issue. Now, what I did say is that it was a very complex issue and that there had never been such a prosecution of a woman who laterally disclosed that she had been raped, and that I did invite Mr. Smith to speak to me about that, the complexities around it. He hasn't done so yet, but what I would like to do is take the opportunity to perhaps clarify some concerns that people might have over this. The law in Northern Ireland allows for a potential prosecution of an individual for withholding information of a serious criminal offence, an indictable criminal offence carrying a sentence of over 5 years, of which, of course, rape is one. But it also only allows for such a prosecution if there is no reasonable excuse for withholding that information. And, of course, one would expect that in the vast majority, if not all cases, where a woman discloses that she has been raped many years later, and in the context of a benefits situation, that one would look at the reasonable excuse around that, because, of course, many women do not complain about rape for all sorts of good reasons close to the time that it has happened.
So I understand all of that, Barra. What I don't understand, given what you've just said, is how you were not therefore able to say in this letter to the Shadow Secretary of State, look, you can see no circumstance in which a victim of rape would be prosecuted, because I'll read your words. The legislation does not distinguish between a victim and third parties to whom a disclosure is made. Each is potentially liable to prosecution.
Yes, but the Shadow Secretary of State didn't publish the letter he wrote to me, which asked for the same guarantee that I said in a different occasion could be given in another situation entirely. So that's the problem. And what I'm talking about, Stephen, is the previous controversy around whether or not people could be prosecuted for advising people of giving people information concerning abortions across the water. So the letter that Owen Smith wrote to me asked, could I give the same guarantee? And I said, no, I can't, because it's an entirely different situation. In the previous occasion, there simply was no criminal offence in existence. In this situation, there is a criminal offence in existence. And no reasonable prosecutor can future guarantee there will be no prosecution when an offence exists. What I did say in my letter to Owen Smith is that this was complex. there had never been a prosecution in such a context, and that I invited him to come and see me to discuss it.
But it's gone.
Hasn't done
okay,
and at the moment. So.
Yeah, and I'm reading between the lines that you're not happy that he has released this letter, and I'm reading between the lines that you're certainly hinting that he's releasing this letter for political purposes.
Well, I'm making no comment on his motivation. All I'm saying is that the letter was a reply to a specific question, and that the previous letter to which I replied has not been released. And also, the part of my letter said that this is very complex, and inviting the shadow Secretary of State to speak to me about it was not originally released, although it has been more recently, but nobody seems to be noticing that
to be fair to Owen Smith, he's released it, even if he has released it for political purposes, you know, that's part of his job to stimulate debate. And here's where it's gone. So on the programme this morning, Barra, we had Breda Hughes from the Royal College of Midwives, and they're expressing genuine concern that they now feel there is a real possibility that if a woman confides in a midwife and tells them that they have been raped, that midwife is duty bound to report it, and if they do not, you might prosecute that midwife. Can you give them any assurance this morning that you will not do that?
As I've said, guarantees can't be given. Let's put it this way. There are all sorts of human rights considerations would come into play, public interest considerations, and I would find it highly unlikely that a midwife in such a context would be prosecuted. Highly unlikely. But I can't future-proof any of these situations. They have to be taken as they arise. But I would be concerned about some scaremongering over this issue. It is a complex enough situation which has now arisen because of the entanglement between the reporting of this serious crime and benefits, which is unfortunate. But I would repeat that I think any prosecution in such a context would be highly unlikely. And I doubt very much that it would be in the public interest. But
does that therefore mean that the legislation is out of date, or that the legislation that it's highly likely that the legislation should be changed?
Well, no, the legislation is important because it places an onus on those who have knowledge of serious crime to report it,
including the victim.
I'm aware of it, including the victim.
But do you think there should be a pressure within legislation on a victim to report that they are a victim before they're ready to do so?
Well, there are safety nets within the legislation. Don't forget the defence of reasonable excuse, which I alluded to earlier, allows the prosecutor and the investigator to consider the circumstances in which the report wasn't made. And there is plenty of scope within that to find that there should not be a prosecution. There is also the public interest and whether or not the specific context requires a prosecution in the public interest.
So I hear what you're saying.
There are plenty of circumstances in which I think in the context of an unreported rape being laterally reported for there not to be a prosecution.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying this morning. But you are... You know, you are a skilled lawyer, clearly, and you know the law inside out. To the ordinary citizen on the ground, and let's talk about a victim of rape that does not know the law, that does not know the legislation, you know, they are hearing a message from you this morning, which is, look, it's highly unlikely that you will be prosecuted, but you cannot give them a guarantee. Now, that doubt, it is so difficult for a victim to come forward in the first place, and that element of doubt might be much more significant to a victim than it is to you, because you're assured that you will look upon this as the public interest. But the clear public message is, while it's highly unlikely, you might be prosecuted.
No, Stephen, there is no context in which a victim of rape reporting that rape many years after the incident would ever be prosecuted. As I said in the letter to Owen...
Well, hold on a minute. Well, that's not true.
It has never happened.
But what you've just said there... Happened. Now, let me just take that sentence. You've just said there is no context in which a victim of rape would never be prosecuted. That's a contradiction of what you've said a matter of moments ago, which is you cannot give a guarantee.
No, because
so would never
about,
be...
We're talking about hypotheticals, but if there are prosecutions taking place regularly in situations where the victim of a rape has come forward many years after the rape has occurred, and there's no question prosecuting that individual for not having disclosed a rape earlier. That as I said, that has never happened. Stephen, if I could just tell you first of all, the letter to Owen Smith was in reply to a specific question concerning guarantees. You cannot give guarantees in any context.
Have you not just given one in which you have said would never be prosecuted?
Yes, and that's in that sense, in that specific situation concerning the victim of a rape who is coming forward to the authorities many years later about the rape, it would be unheard of to prosecute that individual victim.
Okay.
The context which you put to me earlier, Stephen, was in relation to a midwife.
Yeah, and that's
now,
and that's what
that's
I want
also
to...
also highly unlikely, but there are many potential different contexts.
Okay, I get that.
Disclosures would be made and to whom they would be made. And I think it's unfair to start pinning me now on contradictions on whether certain circumstances could prevail.
Okay, fair enough. But
the law is complex.
I get that.
Why I would have preferred Mr. Smith, to be honest, had taken up the offer of a discussion that was given to him.
But this is out there now, and you know my interest is not for Mr. Smith. It is for the public and what they're listening to this morning, and just to be clear, Barrett, on another aspect that comes to mind. So. It's the third party being told information about a rape. So, for example, if it were to be a child who reported to a midwife that they had been raped, and that
I'm not going to go there, Stephen. I'm not going to go there. I'm on the programme to clarify the law, and I was anxious that two things were clarified. One, that the letter was written in response to a specific question concerning guarantees, and secondly, the more complex legal situation around the offence.
But there are genuine questions for midwives and social... We've been contacted by social workers this morning saying, might they be prosecuted if someone confides in them and asks them not to disclose that information?
Again, unlikely, because, look, I amended the codes of practice of the Public Prosecution Service to allow for this type of situation... To ensure that a prosecutor can in fact look at the public interest test before looking at the evidential test in detail in order to cater for this rare situation where an offence might never be in the public interest to prosecute in its context and therefore not to have to go through the process of evaluating a decision on the evidential test. So there are several safeguards in place.
Okay.
One, there is a reasonable excuse. Two, there is a public interest. And three, there is now the facility for the prosecutor to go directly to the public interest. So it would be very, very doubtful that any reasonable situation would be prosecuted.
So, and this is my final question, and thank you for spending the time with us this morning. So, if a third party, be it a midwife, be it a police officer, someone from within the health service or a social worker, if they are given information that someone has been raped and they thoughtfully think through the public interest, the reasonable excuse of someone has trusted them, confided in them, are you saying it is very unlikely that they would be prosecuted for not reporting that crime, or that person has been raped?
Unlikely, highly unlikely, but again, the evidential circumstances around that occurring would have to be looked at, the reasonable excuse would have to be applied, and the public interest would have to be applied. Again, it's very, very dangerous to start going down speculation, the role of speculation in these very sensitive and very difficult.
Why is the law different in Northern Ireland than the rest of the UK? And should it be different?
Well, this is an offence which was created in 1967 by the then Northern Ireland legislature. It obviously is there to ensure that there is a significant incentive on individuals to report crime. That was clearly the purpose of it. It doesn't exist in the other United Kingdom jurisdictions, as far as I know. So this piece of legislation, which introduces the issue of a reporting of rape in the context of benefits, is a good deal more complex here than it is in the other UK jurisdictions. That's just something we have to deal with. But the law does have a degree of flexibility about it, which regrettably was not apparent from the reply that I gave to Mr. Smith, but I would make it very clear that that reply was in response to a question which sought a guarantee, and that context has not perhaps been made clear to the public when the letter was published and in the public comments around the letter.
Barra, thanks for coming on this morning. Thank you. That's Barra McCrory, who is the Public Prosecution Services Director.